Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Well, today is Thursday. Thank and praise the Lord for Thursday. Well, we in the month of May already. Ain't that something? We just thank and praise the Lord. This is Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. I'm so glad that you tune in this evening. Thank and praise the Lord. As I stated, today is Thursday. And I just thank and praise the Lord for every day. One songwriter wrote, and I hear it preached a lot of time, but it's scripture. This is the day that the Lord have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a choice. You have to choose to rejoice. But you know, when you come into the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation of the reality about who God is and what God's word say about him, you can rejoice. You can rejoice in God's promise because he is a God and a father of integrity. I thank and praise the Lord for this day, and I send a shout-out to Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. Thank God for them allowing me to play a part in this broadcast. It's a blessing, and I thank and praise the Lord. On Saturday past, we came together in Charlotte, and we was able to meet the rest of the cast, or better yet, the ones that own this broadcast. It truly was a blessing. I just continue to lift up Apostle Armstrong. He is a mighty man of God. I thank and praise the Lord for he truly have a heart for people. He loved people. And, you know, that's one of the signs that let me know he's not only a citizen in the kingdom, but that's one of the signs of a true apostle. They love God people. They concerned about God people. And I just thank and praise the Lord for him and Lady Armstrong. We continue to lift them up in prayer. And I just decree and declare daily that God is renewing his strength. God is refreshing and strengthening him daily. God is giving him wisdom and knowledge. God leading him in a plain path because of his enemy. God have given him ears that he can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So there too again, on Monday we talked about experiencing the peace of God, what you have to do in order to experience the peace of God. You know, I don't know about a lot of people, but when I first got saved, I had an old mindset. My mind was full of religion and tradition. My faith was based upon what people said about God because I didn't know nothing about, I didn't even know it was possible that I could develop or have a relationship with God. I didn't know that. So when I got saved, you know, I had this really, well, I had been reading the Bible ever since I was 8 because we used to have to read the Bible to my grandmother. But anyway, I would read the Bible, but the reality of it wasn't there. But after I got born again, I began to have a hunger, thirst for the word. I just wanted to read the word, read the word, read the word, read the word, not knowing, like Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are life and spirit. The word of God is a spirit. And if you haven't been born again, you haven't connected with your Heavenly Father. You know him as God. You know him based upon what people say about him. But once you get born again, we have the opportunity to develop a personal relationship with our Creator, who is God and our Father. And I'm telling you, when you read, after you get born again and receive the Holy Spirit, and you begin to read the Word of God, the reality, the realness of it, it's like, wow. He really real. Now, somebody might debate, well, everybody ought to know God real. Yeah. It's when the reality of God come to you it changed the way you think. It'll change the way you live. It'll change the way you treat people. But the point, like I said, on Monday we was in St. John, the 14th chapter, first three verses, and we was in Philippians, the 4th chapter, because Jesus was saying in St. John, the 16th chapter, he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, I done overcome the world. Y'all, in the world, we gonna experience persecution, false accusation, some of what we experiencing right now. You know, every time you turn on the news, you hearing about somebody done murder somebody. You know, it's all negative. You know, and if you continue to focus on that, you are not gonna be able to experience the peace. Jesus said in St. John the 10th chapter, he said, I came that you would have life and you would have it more abundantly. You and I and nobody else gonna experience that abundant life if you do not know what the words say. And you know, now God have a responsibility to us, but we have one to him. And I found out, if you want to know who God is, what God requires from you, you need to get in the Word and read it. And better yet, pray before you read the Word. But anyway, that's what we were talking about when Jesus said in St. John, the 14th chapter, just giving you a quick review if you didn't tune in on Monday. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, when he said, let not your heart, that's you. That's you. That's me. He said, let not your heart be troubled, yet believe in God, also believe in me. And we're going to talk about faith today. And I was just telling the Lord, even before we came on, I said, the last time when you really had me to do a really deep study in teaching on faith, it was read before in the beginning of the COVID. And, you know, there too, again, God always want to prepare us if we listen at it. But anyway, in Philippians, the 4th chapter, it tells us what we must do in order to experience the peace of God. And I'm telling you, you cannot experience the peace of God if you sit around, rightly divide what I'm finna tell you. There's nothing wrong with looking at the news, but if you sit around all the time, listen at the news and meditating on what they saying, it gonna put fear in you. It'll open you up for fear. You know, I had to learn, the Bible tells us be careful how we hear. You do. You got to be careful what you give your ears to. You got to be careful what you give your eye to. A lot of people don't have peace today because you focus on your problem. The late Dr. Charlie Stanley said something that really stick with me. He said, don't focus on your problem, focus on the solution. And that's what faith about. Faith is not focusing on your situation, but faith is focusing on the solution to the problem. Focus on the one that can do something about your problem, you know. So I'm telling you, yes, in the world, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trouble. Just because you're a born-again believer, you is not exempted from trouble. Believe me. But the thing about it, because of Jesus coming, death, burial, and resurrection, because of his atonement, because of his redemption work, we can have peace in the midst of a storm. You can have peace in the midst of trouble. But you got to know who to focus on. I'm reminded when Jesus told the disciples about going to the other side, and the Bible talk about how he went under and went to sleep in the boat. But then the Bible tells us in the midst of them going to the other side, the Bible tells us that a storm came, and it filled the boat with water, and those disciples allowed themselves to lose focus on what God's word said. And the word was, Jesus gave the word. He said, let's go to the other side. Now, in the beginning, before the storm came, they had faith and confidence in what God's word said. But when the storm came, they cast away their confidence. And I'm telling you, this is so important. Faith is the currency to heaven, to the kingdom of God, like money is the currency on the earth. We use money to purchase things. And you know, yeah, you know, well, you can, you have a debit card and all of, but you got to make sure you have the money in your account to cover it. But there too, again, some people have credit cards and all of that. But still, all of the root of it is money. Money is the currency that we use to purchase and things on the earth, where faith is the currency that we use in the kingdom. You know, but like I said, you is not going to experience the peace of God if you sitting around meditating on what's happening, the negative things that are happening on this earth. You got to know what to do with what you hear. Come on, somebody. You got to know what to do with what you hear, the negative you hear. I had to learn. I had to learn how, what to do with the false accusation, the rejection that I get from people, people that you know, want to debate the way I minister. What I had to learn, what do I do with that? How do I handle that? And one of the latest words that God gave me, he said, you got to be okay with it. Okay me to the point that I don't allow it, that I don't owe myself up for strife, resentment, bitterness, and unforgiveness. That's what it means. And that's what the Lord had showed me. You have to be okay with it. You got to learn how to forgive folks. You got to learn how to forgive and go on. You got to learn how not to let bitterness and resentment get in your heart, because bitterness and resentment is an enemy to faith. And so I'm telling you, in the time that we're living in, we hear about trouble all the time. It's in our midst. It's in our surrounding. But you got to know what to do with it. You got to handle it the way that the Bible said handle it. And so now we're coming into the day. As I say, we're going to talk about faith. And faith is so important. Faith is so important. Faith is so important. As I stated, if you want to experience the peace of God, you got to put your confidence in what God says. God is well able to do and fulfill what his words say, but you is not going to experience the peace of God if you focusing on the problem. Isaiah 53 in the beginning, it said, who have believed our report? And believe it or not, we believe reports all the time. And I'm finna say something. I don't want you to get offended, but I want to make a point. And you have to examine yourself. A lot of people believe the report of the doctor more than they believe the report of the Lord. And I'm not saying that to try to offend you. That's not, but I'm making a point here. In Isaiah 53, it tells us who have believed our report. And if you read those first five verses, it talk about what Jesus was going to take. You know, he took our infirmity, bore our sin, by his stripes we were healed. It talk about all of what going to happen to Jesus for mankind. But there too again, especially when not only just sickness and pain, but adversity, poverty and lack, when it come down to what God say, a lot of time, I'm telling you, if you operate with an unrenewed mind and not keeping your mind renewed, you, when trouble hit, you is not going to open up your mouth and declare what God say about you and your situation. I found that the more you talk about a problem, it does not change the situation, but it can change you. But like I said, I want to start today with faith, you know, and Habakkuk, the second chapter and the fourth verse, we're going to go to, because I want you to see what the Bible say. You know, I know a lot of times when I tell you to go to the scriptures, I know it can take up a lot of time, but let me tell you something. It is so important, and God taught me this a long time ago, and I still do. He tell me all the time. He said, put your eyes on it. You see, how can you say you believe? A lot of people, they believe in God, but they don't know what God say about their situation. They believe that God can. They believe that God is almighty. Yeah, I believe that God can. I believe that God is almighty. But still, I need to know what God say in his word. Your faith is supposed to be based upon what is written, not what you feel, not what you think. Our faith is supposed to be based upon, I'm looking for Habakkuk. You probably hear my pages turning. But anyway, you're supposed to be able to put your eyes on what God's word say. You know why? Because guess what? When the Bible said put God in remembrance his word, if you don't know what God's word said, how you going to put him in remembrance? Come on, somebody. If you don't know what God's word say, you cannot put God in remembrance in his word if you don't know what his word say. When we going to go to Habakkuk, that just it. Now the enemy might would get on out the way. In Habakkuk, I want you to see this. In Habakkuk, the second chapter and the fourth verse. If you read the first chapter of Habakkuk, you will find out at that time, the children of Israel, or better yet, the children of God, they were suffering a lot at the hands of their enemy. And Habakkuk, as a prophet, he was disturbed by it. He wanted to know why God wasn't doing anything about it. And see, that's the thing about it. When it's easy to say you have faith in God, when everything seemed to be going the way you wanted to go, your children doing right, your marriage is doing good, your job is doing good, you got money in the bank, you ain't worried about nothing. But then when your health go wrong and you go to the doctor and get an evil report, or you don't have enough money to pay your bills, something go wrong in your relationship, whether it's with your spouse, with your children, with any of your family, that's when you will find out where your faith at. Come on, somebody. Come on. And so Habakkuk had a problem, and he began to inquire of God, or better yet, he complained to God about what's going on. Now, I have had some people say, well, you don't need to go and mum and complain to God. Well, my Bible said, if any man like wisdom, let him ask God. Here's some things came up in my life today. And I went before God and I said, okay, God, I disagree with this. I don't like this sin. I said, but Father, forgive me for trying to fix it. I said, now I'm going to roll this care on you and I'm going to leave this thing alone. I said, it's okay to go before God and tell God how you feel about something. It's nothing wrong with that, because that's 1 Peter 5:7. But once you catch that care on the Lord, then you got to trust him with it. And y'all, that ain't easy sometimes. But anyway, in Habakkuk, the second chapter, and in that fourth verse, like I said, Habakkuk was dealing with stuff, and he was talking to the Lord about what was going on and how he did not like it. And he wanted to know, God, what you going to do about it? Why you ain't did something about it? And this is what God said to him in that fourth verse. He said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just, listen what he said, but the just shall live by faith. Well, now, see, I want to show you how faith is so important when it comes down to receiving from God. Or better yet, whatever God done promised us in his word, we have to believe and have to obey and trust what God's word say about our situation. And like I said, it's easy to believe God when things going the way you want it to go. Are you hear what I'm saying? But he told him, he said, the just shall live by faith. You know, he telling him the just shall live by faith. Now, it's amazing. He was talking about pride. One translation talk about how God put, because see, a proud person, they believe in themselves. A proud person, they confidence is in their ability and what they have, not in God. And that's why he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And these Babylonians, they was people, their faith was in they self. They were proud people. But God allowed his people to be put in their hand because the children of God had, at that time, they had rebelled against God. Okay, I'm going to read some of my notes. The righteous are contract with the proud and the ungodly who live lives are not upright. The heart of the righteous are turned to God, and they desire to be his children, to have close fellowship with him, and to obey his will. The righteous must live in this world by faith in God. Listen at me. Now, that word righteous, that don't mean without fault. Are you a perfect person? No. Righteous mean in right standing with God. At this time, they was righteous because they was in covenant with God. They was in covenant with God. Hear me good. Righteousness don't mean without fault, without error. You're a perfect person. Righteousness means you in right standing with God. Well, how you get there? Well, you believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and you believe that he came and paid for your sin through his death, burial, and resurrection. You believed on the one he sent. And that's why when the Jews asked Jesus, what must we do to work the work of God? He said to believe on the one that he sent. God sent Jesus to us. And God wants us to believe on him. And like I said, the righteous must live in this world by faith in God, and that faith means a steadfast trust in God that his ways are right. I mean steadfast. And y'all, if it ever been a time, and I tell you, trouble always allow me to see where I'm at in my faith in God. Do I really trust him? Now, you know, a lot of people, they say, well, I believe God exists. That's good and well. But when adversity comes, when it's come to put your confidence and your trust in God, what do you do? And see, this is what was happening. This was the prophet, and this prophet had not got frustrated. He had not got aggravated. He didn't have peace. And God told him to proud, how a proud person acts. But he said the just, they live by faith. The righteous must live in this world by faith in God. And there too, again, like I said, we have to have a steadfast faith in God. We all the way. And I'm telling you, this is so important. And this is what Habakkuk said. Like I said, now we're going to go back. We're going to go back to Hebrews. I'm telling you, you need to know faith is so important. Hear me. Faith is important. I want you to hear me. That's why if you go read the whole chapter, Hebrews 11, it tells you how our ancestors, how their faith caused them to have victory, how their confidence in God, but what they experienced, but they were steadfast in the faith. I want you to hear, they were steadfast in the faith, and that is so important. See, the enemy know, okay, in Hebrews, let me do that. If you got your Bible, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in that 6th verse, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? Listen, we don't please God if we give, just because you do your good deeds, we will call it. You might have somebody cross the street. You might buy somebody grocery. What please God is our faith, and you cannot separate faith from obedience. They're inseparable. Because faith is trusting and taking God at his word, but at the same time, you got to obey what his words say do. You can't separate the two. But I want to show you that faith is so important. It's in Habakkuk, the 2nd chapter, the 4th verse. It's in Romans, the 1st chapter, the 17th verse. It's also in Galatians 3 and 11, then in Hebrews 10 and 38. In Hebrews 10 and 38, well, we're in Hebrews 11 chapter, but if you just go in the 10th chapter, it said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back my soul, shall have no pleasure in him. It's easy to talk faith. I want you to hear me. You got a lot of people walking around with unforgiveness. See, everything about faith is not how you feel or what you think about the situation or how you think God's supposed to solve your problem. But faith is having confidence that God going to do right by your situation, that God can and God will. See, the children of Israel, when God told Moses, I gave them the promised land. He gave it to them. But when they went to spy out the promised land, it was giants in the promised land. And that put fear when the spies came back and told them that it was some giants in there. It put fear in the people. They forgot all about what God said. And y'all, I've been down that road. It's easy. I'm saying it for somebody that's hearing on this road. It's easy to talk faith. But when it come down to living faith, in the eyes of a storm, when you got to be steadfast in the faith, steadfast. Paul even said in Hebrews, he tell us to hold fast to the profession of our faith. And the reason why he tell us to hold fast to it without wavering, because he know trouble going to come, adversity come, affliction going to come, persecution going to come. And a lot of time, when persecution comes, when somebody rejecting you or somebody's talking about you or somebody mistreating you, do you respond in faith? Faith will tell you forgive. Faith will tell you to pray for them that despitefully use you. Faith will tell you if they're hungry, feed them. Pray for them. But do you respond that way? See, that's the way. Faith require action. Faith require action. And God would give us grace to do it. But I'm telling you, this is so important. That's why I wanted to bring this out, and I'm trying to lay my foundation today. Okay? And like I said, Romans 6, 1st chapter 17 verse, it said, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pledge in him. And see, at this time, when he said that if you study the whole time, you would see they was experiencing a lot of trouble at that time, adversity, affliction, heavy. It was happening. Are you hearing me? It was happening at that time. And the writer was trying to encourage them to hold fast, not to give up. And y'all, we in that hour where the true sons of God is really standing. You're going to find out who the true sons of God is. You're going to find out the one that truly believe, have faith in God, truly obeying God, truly. I ain't talking about the one that just because you go to church every Sunday, that don't necessarily mean that you believe God. The Bible said the devil believe and he tremble. And I'm telling you, this is so important. When trouble comes, you'll find out what is your faith in God, it's your faith in yourself, it's your faith in your adversity. I'm telling you, you're going to find out where your faith at. Because faith, when in the eye of a storm, in the midst of trouble, you be steadfast. What you mean? You hold it, you just keep saying, God, I believe. I just believe what you say. I trust what you say. Amen. Okay? Galatians 3:11. I'm going to go to Galatians 3:11 and write this down. Like I said, a lot of times people say, you waste a lot of time going to the word. You need to put your eye on it. You need to see it. How you going to tell God or put God in remembrance of his word if you don't know what the word say? Faith begins where the will of God is known. And the will of God is what is written, what his word say. Some people trying to believe God and asking God to do that, and they don't know whether it's in the word or not. You just believe that God is almighty. That's what you believe. You believe that God can do anything but fail. But you don't know what God done said. You need to know what God done said to you and I about our situation. Amen. That is important. A lot of people pray and ask God to do that. That's not even written. And your faith, the basic, yeah, God can do anything but fail. But God is only required to do what is written. When Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, Jesus stood on what he know that God will. He said, it is written. What you believe in God for, is it written? I'm going to show you. I'm going to close this evening about David. I'm going to show you how David's faith was in his covenant. He know his covenant partner who was God. What your faith is based upon. That's why I said when you go to Isaiah 53, when he said, who believe our report? And a lot of times, I'm not trying to be little nobody. I go to the doctor. Listen at me good. I go to the doctor too. I'm not against doctors, but my faith, I have more confidence in what God say about my body than what the doctor say. Oh, yes, I do. Do you take, yes, I take medicine too, but I decree that it gonna only do what it's supposed to do, and it's not gonna affect any other part of my body. Yes, I do. But you got to know how to rightly divide this thing. You got more faith, believe it, what the doctor say than God say. I've been down that road. You ever done went to the doctor and you said, pray that I go to the doctor and get a good report? Okay. Well, now the Bible done told us in Isaiah 53, 3 through 5, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, Second Peter 2:24. He done told us about our body. But if the doctor said it's well, you come out rejoicing. But if the doctor said it ain't well, and God's word say you heal by his Christ, we don't, you know, and I done been there. I don't come out happy. I used to come out, if the doctor gave me an evil report, I was sad. I didn't know nothing about Isaiah 53 and 5. I didn't know nothing about Matthew 8 and 17. 2 Peter 2:24. I didn't know nothing about that. And I will come out sad before God hear me for migraine headaches, and I'm about to have to come off the job. That noise, I just couldn't stand it. And they were saying, ain't no cure for migraine headaches. It made me sad. I'm going to have to lose my job. I was a baby in Christ. But then one of the mothers in the church began to tell me, you need to believe God. Believe God? He the one made me sick. See, I didn't know the scriptures. I'm saying this because I'm telling you, some people, and y'all please rightly divide what I'm saying. I'm not trying to be little or nobody. But our faith and our confidence supposed to be more in God than people. And the way that I find out what God said about me and what Jesus done did at Calvary for me, it's in his word. And that's why in Galatians 3 and 11, but God healed me from migraine headaches, and I was able to keep my job. And I was amazed. I believe what that mother said, and y'all, God healed me from migraine headaches. Now, maybe about 5 years ago, the enemy tried to bring it back on me, and I had to stand on the word again. I had to stand on the word again and begin to rebuke it and stand on what his word say. I'm telling you, we got to really get this thing to the point that our confidence, and we have more faith and confidence in what God say in his word about us. Numbers 23 tell us that God is not a man that he will lie, nor the son of man that he repent. Has not God spoken, God won't bring it to pass. In Jeremiah, the first chapter, it says, I watch over my word to perform it. The Bible tells us, let every man be a liar, but God be true. And I'm telling you, we in that hour like never before. You're going to find out how much of faith, how much of confidence you got in what God's word say. And for we see it, we, like I said, in Hebrews, we see that it's in Habakkuk, that the just shall live by faith. It's in Romans, the first chapter. It's in Galatians, the third chapter. It's in Hebrews, the 10th. So that let me know faith is important when it come down to my relationship with God, or better yet, as being a Christian. Faith is, y'all listen, we supposed to live, as a Christian, we supposed to live daily by faith. My faith used to be in what I see. My faith used to be in what I feel. If I felt good, that's what my faith was. My faith went in what God's word say. The Bible tells us in Romans how Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. When God told Abraham, 99-year-old man, God's going to tell him at 75, he's going to give him a son. It was 24 years before the manifestation. Him and Sarah had passed the barren stage. They had passed the stage that they could have a child. But God told him. You know, he got messed up with Ishmael. Hagar, because he messed around and slept with her, you know, and she got pregnant. Sarah told him, go on, you know, ain't no way. And I'm telling you, we are living in this hour that you better make sure, it's the old saying, that you better make sure you anchor in Jesus. Okay, and I'm in Galatians 3 and 11. In Galatians 3 and 11, it said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. He was talking about the law of Moses. That's what he was talking. Now, the law of Moses was good until Jesus came. But the thing about the Mosaic law, God showed you what to do, but you could not keep all those commandments that he told him to do. But the law of Moses, God wanted to show man, if I told you what to do, you could not do it. And we got a lot of people, even you are born again believer, but you still trying to keep the commandments of God in your own effort. You can't do it. But if you choose to do what God said, grace is available. See, faith and law, the law came by Moses, but grace and faith came by Jesus. You can't separate grace from faith. Now, grace is not giving you a license to sin. Well, you need to realize that grace is not giving you a law to sin. Yeah, some people know what, but in the Greek, it talk about grace, God unmerited favor. But it also, grace is God giving us the ability, enabling us with the ability to do what his words say if we choose to do it. Come on now. But this is what he said. I'm in Galatians 3 and 11. Galatians 3 and 11. He said, but that no man is justified, put in writing, no, but no man is justified, declare not guilty by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in it. See, the law was not of faith. Law was of you doing in your own ability. But faith is having confidence and trusting God in what he said in God helping us to do it. Then he goes to Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You want to know what the curse is, go to Deuteronomy 28th chapter. It'll tell you what the curse is here. Okay? And then Hebrews 10 and 38, we done already read that. He said, for now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pledge in him. Now, I told you I want to do this. I want you to go to 1 Samuel. I want us to go to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and I want to show you how somebody, and everybody know David. Everybody know David, the one that slew Goliath. Now, I want to show you in my closing, we're going to spend it, I got, you know, it's 6:38. We're going to spend the next couple, we want to show you how David's faith was in his covenant with God. He had tested it. I want to show it to you. I want to show it to you because this is so important. As everybody knows, David was a little young man, and this Philistine, everybody knew Goliath was coming against him. Well, better yet, let me read a little bit of it. And 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, and what it is, Prophet Miller always saying, put your eyes on it. Now, some people don't believe in that, but when you put your eyes on it, when the enemy come and try to get you to doubt, you can say, no, I seen it for myself. That's something God always taught me. Over 40 years ago, I was really experiencing a lot of persecution as a minister in the gospel. And the Lord told me, he said, Ann, go read what it's written. And when somebody come to you and inquire why you do and do, you can tell them what's written. Put your eyes on it, my brother and my sister. Because this is your covenant, okay? But it said in the 26th, it said, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God? See, David understood his covenant right, and he understood that Goliath was a Philistine, he was not in covenant with God. And see, you need to know as a born-again believer, as a Christian, when we come to be a Christian, we in covenant. You got an old covenant and you got a new covenant. Old Testament, New Testament. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that we in this new covenant, because of Jesus, we got a better covenant with better promise. See, up under the old covenant, every year they had to make an atonement for the people's sin. They had to bring a lamb, face and neck, pull the blood out. And then one lamb they laid the hand on and then let him run wild. That was for just that. But see, he could not get rid of the guilt in the power of sin that was in their life. But in this new covenant, the blood of Jesus got rid of the sin nature and the sin conscience. And he don't have to offer it up every year. But we can believe on Jesus. And we can confess our sins. And the Bible tells us the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from unrighteousness. I'm telling you, but you do this by faith. And I say this all the time. This is not the final revelation. So don't, whoever you are, don't get all messed up in. Oh, no, you ain't got to believe my revelation. You ain't got to, you can get your own. Meditate on it. And God show it to me. He'll show it to you. But this is what he was saying. I'm going to read that 26th verse again. Listen. He said, David spake to the men that stood by him, said, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine, taking away the reproach from Israel? See, Israel was in covenant with God. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God? Okay, I'm skipping for time's sake. Okay, now let's drop down to the 34th verse. They went and told Saul what David said. And this is what David said to Saul. He said, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. When he rose again from me, I caught him by the beard, and smote him, and slew him. Other words, David had already experienced seeing God deliver him, God giving him strength to slew a lion and a bear who were coming to kill or steal some of his sheep. David was a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy. He kept the sheep. And he had experience with God. But see, that because David understood his covenant. Okay? And look at the 35th verse. He said, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard, smote him and slew him. Look at the 36th verse. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine should be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the army of the living God. David was standing on his covenant rights. What you standing on? Whatever your whatever situation you're dealing with, whatever problem you have, what have God said to you about that problem? It's a promise for. What have he said to you about sickness and disease? What have he said to you about household salvation? What have he said to you about your marriage, about your relationship with your family? God done spoke. He done said something. You just have went in the scripture and searched it out to find out. Remember, faith starts where the will of God is. You need to know what the will of God is so you can put your faith, put your confidence, and your trust in what God say. See, a lot of people asking God to do things God never said he would do. God told you to speak to the mountain, but if you don't know that, well, you're going to ask God to do it. I had to learn that. God have his responsibility to me, but I also have my responsibility to God. Okay? Then, like I said, David would tell him, sorry, he told him he'd do the same thing to Goliath. And this is what I want you to see, how David stood on his covenant right. He stood on his covenant right. Okay, look at, we're going to drop down to that 44 verse. It said, the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. 45 verse. Then said David to the Philistine, thou coming to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But, now I want you to see this, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, who thou have defiled. See, when you are facing adversity, out of the storm, persecution, whatever you facing today, you need to be able to stand and open your mouth. Faith come by hearing the word, but we release our faith by speaking, by decreeing and declaring what God say. The way Jesus overcame Satan in the wilderness, it was by what was written. He kept saying it's written. And y'all, I'm telling you, you have to learn to open your mouth, because that's the way God, that's the way it's written. God require us. The old mind with my, and this is what David did. David declared his victory when he told us with the lion and the bear what God did. And he said, and he said, because he said in that 45th verse, he said, then said David, thou come to me with a sword, with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army Israel, whom thou have defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee. See, David faith that God was going to deliver him from Goliath. God was going to give him the strength, the power to slew this giant. Well, look, some of you got giants. Sickness can be a giant. Poverty, lack can be a giant. Stress, depression, all of that can be a giant, y'all. But you need, if you need to know how what is written and say it. I decree and I declare by the authority in your word, God. This is what you say. You got to learn how to open your mouth. You can't just sit around. No, yeah, mom and them moan. Some of my ancestors moan, but it came a time that they, when they came into the knowledge, they had to open their mouth and say something. He said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. See, David declared who he was, who is coming upon this world. I want to show you that, because that is so important. David's faith was not, yeah, he took the stone and the slingshot, but David's faith was confidence in the source of the slingshot and the stone. Where your faith at? Is your faith, is in your ability? Or is your faith in what is written? Do you know what is written about your situation? There's some parent out there, you worrying about your children, and you did all you know to do. Now, the Bible say, train up a child in the way that he shall go. When that child is old, they shall not depart. Well, you need to stand on that. And in Proverbs 21 and 11, no, 11 and 21, I'm sorry, it tell you the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Now, it might be a long, stretched-out battle, and that's something I used to fall in. And, you know, I would get, I start wavering. You know, my faith, I wouldn't stay fast in the faith. I'm being transparent because I want you to know, even as a prophet of God, I go through too, y'all. I have trouble too. I fall sometime too. I don't dot every I and cross every T, but I thank God for the mercy of God, for the patience of God. And I'm telling you, David understood what it means to be in covenant with God. And that's what David's faith was in. The source of his strength was not the slingshot in the stone. The source of his strength was his covenant with Almighty God. Because he had experienced the power of God when it came down to killing the bear and the lion. God showed up for David. He was just a little shepherd boy. Now you think about it, a little shepherd boy, and according to the Bible, David wasn't a big person. He wasn't all that stout. A little in stature, he was a little person, a small person. But David had experience. and saw how God gave him the ability. And it was because of his covenant. And let me tell you, someone listening at the broadcast now, as a born-again believer, you living way beneath your privilege as a child of God. I had to learn as an African female, guess what? If I look at it, I can certain things I cannot accomplish because of the color of my skin in the natural. But if I go by the way of my covenant with God, God can call what is impossible in the natural to be possible. And that's why the Bible tells us in Galatians, it's nor male or female in the eyes of God. That's why when I hear some people, they don't agree with a female preacher and all of that. Yeah, I ain't got time for that stuff. That was up under the old covenant. If you go study the four gospels, they treated women like a product. They didn't even treat women like they was women. That, if you notice in the four gospels, most of Jesus, did certain things with female. When they brought the woman that got caught in adultery, why they didn't bring the male? When the woman that Satan had caused her to be bent over, she didn't know she was the seed of Abraham. Jesus spoke up. When he healed a woman on Sabbath day and they criticized him. If you go back and just read it, you will see it for yourself. That's why it tells us it's nor male or female in the eyes of God, nor Greek nor Jew, because all of them they weren't liberated. They was in bondage. Go back and read it for yourself. Go read it for yourself. It's in Galatians, the third chapter. You can read it for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. That's why you have to pray and ask God to help you to rightly divide the word. But see, there too again, I'm showing you how David, I'm giving you an example that David understood his covenant with God. He understood that he went in the battle by himself. And my brother, my sister, you're not in this battle by yourself. You're not the only one going through. I'm talking about go through. That's why David said, see, David learned some things about his covenant partner. He said, yea, though I walk through the shadow of death, I would not fear no evil. Why? I know who with me. God is with me. Do you know, is it a reality to you that God is with you? Or the enemy got you think you by yourself? Let me tell you something. When I used to have a problem, and if Ann couldn't find a solution within herself, I would get frustrated, aggravated, and sometimes I would get depressed. But when I came into the knowledge and the understanding what it means to be a citizen in the kingdom, what it means to be in covenant with God, y'all, it changed my life. That didn't exempt me from trouble, but it let me know. If you put your faith and confidence in what my words say, now you are my child. I'm responsible for you. But my child but you have your responsibility to me too, Ann. And that's what the Holy Ghost began to teach me. And I'm telling you, faith is important. It tells you in Hebrew, without faith it's impossible to please God. You want to please? I used to tell the Lord that. I said, Lord, I just want to please you. I just want to please you. And this is what the Lord told me. He took me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. He said, now, you're going to have to live by faith. You're going to have to take me at my word. You're going to have to trust my word. Now, the old saying said, when you can't trace him, you got to trust him. And like I said, the children of Israel, they believed that God exists. But they did not trust God to get them in their promised land. And if someone out there, yeah, you believe that God exists. You believe God can do it, but you won't trust him with you. You won't trust him with yourself. You won't trust him with your situation. You still trying to figure out, how can I fix it? Well, guess what? You can't. But God needs you to believe and trust him with. Give it to him. And guess what? If you ain't saved, you can get saved. If you ain't saved, you can get saved. Believe on Jesus, he the Son of God. And Jesus, I done made a mess out of my life. I want you to forgive me. But I receive you today, Jesus, as my Savior. You died for my sins. And this what this preacher telling me, you died for my sins. And I want you to come in my life. I believe you the Son of God. Forgive me. Come in my life. I'm a sinner. I don't care what you're dealing with right now. Jesus can save you. He can deliver you. I'm a witness. I ain't had everything but what I dealt with in life. Y'all don't hear my testimony when I was on marijuana, couldn't get off of it, and I'll let God deliver me from it. God had to deliver me from myself. I would have OD'd on myself. What you mean by that, prophet? Thinking I can do when I couldn't. Thinking that I know and I didn't know. And y'all, that's why Jesus said, if any man gonna fall after me, let him deny himself. And I'm telling you, David relied in his confidence was in his covenant partner who was God. God was the source of his strength, the source of it. And I'm telling you, but he had to do it by faith. Can you imagine this big giant and this little lad up to this big giant looking down there? He had to have faith in God. And what in your situation ain't no different. It seems like it's right now, it seems like it's big, it's impossible, but it's not with God. God needs you to trust him with it. You may have to go, God, I trust you with this. God, I'm asking you to do this for me. Listen, God is well able, and he's waiting. But you got to let go of it. You got to take him at his word, my sister, my brother. That's the way that works. And we're going to continue this thing. We're going to continue talking about what is faith, the importance of faith, how you operate if ask the Lord lead me. Because this is so important. If you're going to be able to endure and overcome what's on this earth now, you got to be able not only to believe God, but you got to trust him too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word, and I give you all the praise and honor. And Father, just forgive us. Forgive us for doubt and unbelief when we in the eye of the storm, when we in the midst of trouble. Father, forgive us and open up our spiritual eyes, that we would know what is the hope of your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this was Apostle Willie Ann Miller, and I pray and I trust that you will enjoy the rest of your day. Read. If you have time, go back and read Hebrews 11 chapter. Read whatever you can on faith, because I tell you, you're going to need it. Enjoy the rest of your evening.